Here we go. got praise in the place. I want you to shake two hands and say, let's give God the best praise today.
We praise.
praise. There's something we can give God, which is our praise. Somebody begin to praise God in this place and worship Him. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. Everyone say, I love you forever.
I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
Saying, come on.
I love you forever.
Somebody out there saying, I love you,
I love you,
yeah,
forever, I love you, forever, I love you, forever, Lord.
Let's do it on one accord. Let's lift our hands and say, I love you, come on,
forever.
Don't be afraid, man, welcome, boy and girl.
I love you,
we love you,
forever,
I love you, God,
I love you,
I love
forever,
you.
Lord,
I can worship you before tragedy comes. I love you.
I love you.
Hatadamando.
Forever.
Yes, we do.
I love you.
I love you.
Forever.
I love you, God.
I love you.
I love you.
Forever, Lord.
Now take a moment and worship right there. Come on.
Oh, oh, hallelujah. God, we worship you forever.
Come on, let God hear your praise. Come on, lift it up. I love you.
I tell you. Forever. I love you forever.
Hallelujah.
I love you.
Yes, God.
Forever, Lord.
You're driving.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
While you're coming home from the job,
I love you forever. I love you forever.
That moment, tell God something you haven't told him today. Can I get about 100 people to say that with me? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, let's echo that again. Oh, oh. Stay right there. Say it again. Oh. I just hear in the spirit right now, God saying this. There are some in this place, Pastor said it earlier, that's dealing with chaos. But I heard God just say this, that there are people here now that this place right now, this moment, this is your place to receive. Your place to be reinvigorated right now. Sometimes the home becomes the battleground. The job becomes the battlefront. The school is a place of arduous testing. But in the old moment right now, I need for those that can receive the Spirit of God, keep those hands lifted or keep your hearts open and receive him as he reinvigorates you. It's a soothing O.
I believe the ushers need to get ready because no one's going to have to lay hands. The power of God, I'm hearing this, is going to hit some people. They're going out on the spirit because they're receiving God's presence. It's like a soothing salve over a sore. Spirit of God, move on the people of God in the places of hurt, the places of misfortune. As they cry out to you with an O, answer them, revive them, reinvigorate them, restore them, make them over again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Continue to sing the O. And we say, receive God's presence right now. Be healed in Jesus' name, physically and emotionally. God, do it now. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And we say, oh.
Say, raise it up, let your
Oh. Holy Ghost. And we say, oh. We say,
hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Spirit of God. Jesus. Sense the presence of Jesus. Come on, this is where you step in, man. You don't step out. You're not sure what to do. That's all right, too. Sometimes you just can be quiet before God. It's all good. Some of you, this might be your very first type of experience in this kind of church. We want you to know that you're looking at people that love God. Not strange. Everything's biblical. We love Jesus. You see, our God's alive and not dead. And because of that, we got a reason to rejoice. Amen. So to worship him, I live. Come on. Can we sing this one more time? Maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe lift your hands half-mast, surrender. Just worship him one more time. Let's do this as a whole body. Everybody in the house.
To worship you. Worship you, I live.
I live to worship you.
Holy Spirit,
and we say, we declare to the heaven, our God is alive. And to worship
you, I live.
Oh,
to worship you, I live
to worship. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do.
Hallelujah.
And through and through, we worship you, oh
God.
Worship you.
Oh, yes, we do. Our hands are raised and we declare to the Master.
We worship you,
God.
We worship you,
I live to worship you.
Hallelujah.
Let the body of Christ say, oh, yeah.
Oh, oh.
Let's sound as one big heavenly host and just declare to God, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. thank you for your anointing, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just tell him you love him now. Come on, tell him right out loud you love him. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying on that cross for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that this is not about religion, but about a relationship. That God, I can talk to you, I can sing to you, I can pray to you. That you hear me, that you care. See, this morning you are very important to Jesus. Some of you don't feel important. Some of you feel like a little lost in your walk with God even. The Lord wants you to know that you are so important to Him. Why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, you are important to Jesus. Come on, tell somebody else, you are important to Jesus. Now why don't you go find five people that you don't know and say, hey, I don't know you, but you are important to Jesus. Come on, stand right into your feet. Come on, everybody, go find somebody. Go find somebody you don't know.
To worship you, I live.
To worship you.
Let's declare it aloud one more time. And we say,
isn't it good to be part of a friendly church? Turn to the person next to you and say, are you friendly? The Bible says if you want to have friends, you've got to be friendly. So important to let people know that you care about them, especially your family. Make sure you let your family know this week that you love them and care for them. Today's an awesome day. We got some great testimonies. Some of you love testimonies. We've got a testimony coming in the next 2 weeks from a trip to, it's Ukraine? Romania. I always say Ukraine, Romania. So we got a great testimony. Why don't you come on up, man? Come on up. Come on, Dave. Dave's got a cool testimony, too. How many of you liked hearing about what God's doing in people's lives?
I just want y'all to know that the tithing and all that is all real. You know, I got hurt last year. Had an operation. They replaced my aorta. I couldn't even walk. I can walk. I can run.
Amen.
But the trucking outfit I worked for, they fired me. But God blessed me with a better job. They gave me an old truck to start with. They just gave me a brand new Peterbilt. I love it. It's beautiful. It's, you know, so awesome. I'm so blessed. You know, the money just keeps coming in, and I keep tithing, and it keeps coming in. And, you know, people, you got to tithe. It's awesome. You know, and the Lord's awesome.
Yes, he is.
And I love him very much.
When did you get saved? When did you give your heart to the Lord? Oh.
I just asked him when he gave his heart to Jesus. About 2 years he's been saved. So, now here, did you get saved here? He gave his heart to the Lord here. And what's interesting is watching the people that grab the principles and run with them. Because when you grab the principles of God and run with them, you can't fail. Amen? And he had all hell licking his toes and everything. I think they even knew what kind of jam he had on his toes. But, I mean, the devil was after him, but he's over the top. Now, God is faithful. And he says, when you tithe, amen, it opens the windows of heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap for testimony. Thank you, man of God. Hallelujah. We also have some great testimonies. I want to say thank you so much. How many of you sowed last week into the children's ministries? Let me explain what happened. $7,200 came in last Sunday morning during that offering. Now, what is really exciting is that it's all gone. Brenda and that team, they bought everything they needed. There's nothing that they didn't need. They bought even more chairs. So I went back, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, we had to renovate back here because we ran out of room on Thursday nights for our children that were bussing in. We bus in almost 220 children a week right now, and we ran out of room to do ministry with them. And so we didn't know what to do. So we took our old garage. Someone sold $25,000, took our old garage and made it into four classrooms. And so now there are four extra classrooms. I went back on Thursday night because I had to check this out. And I walked into the room, and this is what I heard. We're out of room. We got no more room. I said, what do you mean you got no more room? But this is the first week in the rooms. They said, we got no more room, Pastor. And then I heard a kid say, we're out of drink, too. So I took one of their hot dogs and ran. But it's exciting to realize that our very first week, we just opened them, and they're all full. These little children are just looking, and they're eating, and they're hearing the word of God, and their lives are being transformed. I want you to know we're taking our generation back for Jesus. Amen? Well, if that's not a good enough testimony for you, we got another one. We as I shared last week, we had some individuals sow money to buy another bus, which was an awesome blessing. But we got a call. How many of you know Daniel Snowman? Daniel Snowman, I think he's 13 or 14 years old. I call him the bus nag because it is his vision is the bus ministry. Here he comes. Come on up here, kid. This kid has a vision for the bus ministry. Listen, you need to know he is a nag. He sends us almost every day. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Almost every day he sends us a picture of another bus. We need this one. We need this bus. We need this bus. And I keep saying, Daniel, we've got to paint the old ones before we buy new ones. So Daniel's having, just to let you know, he's having a bake sale today. Miss Kay said you should pay everything double just to help out Daniel with this vision that God has given. He's already got the bus garage designed. He says, I'm going to own my own bus company. I'll lend the church buses and all that stuff. So last week, I believe it was, he sent me a text, we need this bus. And so I sent it off to Dave Zink. And Dave Zink called the bus company and said, we bought a bus from there once before. And the bus was $15,000. And so he said, you know, we need, Dave Zink said, we'll give you $5,000 for the $15,000 bus. And the guy said, no, can't do that. But he said, we've been trying to reach you for weeks. And Dave said, what do you mean? He said, well, the bus company that we work with out in California needs to donate a $70,000 bus, and because all the work you're doing with the children down there, we want to donate that bus to your church. So this is our new bus. They donated a $70,000 bus to His Tabernacle Family Church. And it even has a toilet. Jesus is good. Hallelujah. It's got TVs. It's got a toilet. It's got those nice chairs. And so we're going to get it logoed and get everything set. Isn't it exciting? God blessing. God always blesses when you're a soul-winning church. Hear me now. If a soul-winning church, God will always bless. Because God loves people. Amen? Amen. That's what Daniel's heart is. He loves people. I love you. We need some more bus drivers. If you're a bus driver, you need to come and see Dave Zink or just see Dan. He'll hook you up. And we'd love to send a bus to Spencer Van Etten, if that's possible, to go down. We have a whole crew of people, almost 40 people, that would love to come that no longer are able to. They don't have vehicles. So we'd love to send a bus down there and fill it up. Wouldn't you like that? Amen. Take Spencer, too. Let's just take the whole place. Let's take New York. Amen. I love you. Thank you. So we want to give God praise. A $70,000 bus. The rooms back there are all furnished. The stuff is coming in. God has been so awesome to us. I just want to say thank you. Because this is the vision that's in your heart. At His Tabernacle, we do three things. What are they? We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. Come on, let's say it again. That's the vision of His Tabernacle. Let's hear it now. We love God, come on, one more time. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. That's all that His Tabernacle Family Church does. We do nothing else but those three things because that's the vision that He's put within our hearts. We are taking our region back in Jesus' name. The devil cannot have our children. Amen? I said the devil cannot have the children. The devil cannot have the streets. The devil cannot have the teens. The devil can't have our college age. Amen? The devil can't have mom and dad and grandpa, grandma. Hold on now. I got to go a little bit farther because I'm a grandpa now. Great grandma and great grandpa. You don't want to start with my generation. That's not good. So I just want to say thank you. Today at His Tabernacle, as you are a giver, we have 15% of the house of God sowing, or I should say tithers in the church. I believe, God, that He can bring it to 25%. I'm going to stretch my faith. I believe that 70% of you will become tithers in the kingdom of God. Do you realize how much more we can do for Jesus if everyone tithes in this house? If we had 100% tithers in this church, the devil would be screaming. Why? Because we'd be doing more for kingdom. See, I believe in changing lives, but you need money to change lives. Well, you know, Pastor, I just got to share the latest rumor. Are you ready? About a month ago, the rumor was going around that I owned a mansion on the lake. Baby, come on now. I'm praying that one in. That's all I know. Last week, a new rumor sprung up in our community. Pastor just owns a mansion. I've been demoted. But I want you to know, I need you to hear this so that you can look at those people in the face and just tell them they don't know what they're talking about. My wife and I live in a house that we paid $79,000 for, and we love our home. Our home is a beautiful home. In fact, we put it on the market this year to sell it so that we could buy a house with land, and it didn't sell real quick, so we took it off the market because we love our house. I live in a beautiful town. I live in a house that we paid $79,000 for. And I love it because it's ours, and God's blessed us with it. I should say it's His, and He's blessed us with it. Amen? And so whenever you hear the foolish rumors, just look at them and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're the foolish people. Some people say, well, Pastor, your hand's in the till all the time. That's how you get Harley Davidsons. I said, I get Harley Davidsons because my wife handles the money. She's a great budgeter. I wouldn't have a Harley without my wife. So I just want you to know that the monies here are always held accountable. We have three trustees, according to this New York State law. Our monies are done, and actually every month they're done out in Colorado by a professional company that does just church finances. And then every year we either have an audit or a compilation. We are in right standings with the IRS. And glory to God, our church has the number one rating with Dun & Bradstreet for our rating as a church. That means we can go out and buy whatever we want. Glory to Jesus. But we are faithful because we're faithful. When you're faithful with the little, God will trust you with more. So why do we want more? I want more people saved. Can I hear an amen? I want more kids. I want more buses. I want to put a footprint down in Elmira. Can I hear an amen? I want this region to know that Jesus Christ is good and not bad. I want this region to know that my God is able to do abundantly above. That it's not about religion, but it's about serving a massive, awesome, loving King. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. And you're a major part of that. Pastor David, isn't Pastor David just a good-looking man back here? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. If you're a guest here this morning, we actually bring our offerings to the Lord. You can make your check. You can also tithe online. Has anybody done the tithing online yet? It's really cool. Tithe by text. It's really awesome. You can tithe by text now. They'll put that up for you to be able to run through. You can also, we have giving online. We have giving by debit card. We don't want you to put your tithe on a credit card. You don't go into debt to tithe. Amen. Amen. You put it on your debit. That's fine. Are you ready to give? I said, are you ready to give? Then let's make a supernatural shout. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Don't you know who I am? I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering.
Still be the same. See who I was, I give him away. Today, today.
Hey, HT, we have something really awesome coming up November 22nd, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., and also we're having a night service at 6:30 p.m. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, he's coming in to preach a powerful message about salvation, about the kingdom of God, and how we are living in the end times. So make sure that you invite your friends, invite your family, and be here the weekend of November 22nd. Again, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. We'll see you here.
I know, boy, catch the vision.
Oh. I'm here for Catch the Vision. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. We want you to come in. We want you to hear the heart of the pastor. It's just amazing the miracles and wonders that occurred on how his Tabernacle Family Church got started. So we'll see you there, Classroom 1 at 10:30 Sunday.
Hey, HC family, I'm excited to welcome you to the new and improved His Tabernacle Cafe.
Ooh.
We will now be offering to you espresso with the holiday flavors espresso of peppermint, pumpkin, and gingerbread. If you're not an espresso fan, we still have our freshly brewed coffee. We also have muffins, bagels, and breakfast sandwiches you can have with your coffee. If you're interested in some snack items, we have those as well. We have Starburst, we have gum, whatever you may want, I'm pretty sure we're gonna have it here. So make sure that you stop by the cafe before service starts and after service concludes. Get your espresso, get your coffee, get your water, enjoy a muffin, and enjoy the fellowship before you.
Enjoy. Aren't they great commercials? All right, church is canceled. Everybody go out to the cafe. What a great day. Are you enjoying yourself today? If you're a parent of a young person, we have a parental meeting right after service. So we want to encourage you for the youth ministry. We want to encourage you to be there. Man, I'm just so excited what Jesus is doing. How many of you love babies? Now, we have a very good, bad problem in our church. I'm praying for twins for everybody in Jesus' name. Yes. Pray for Jesus. And all the empty nesters said, no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But today we have baby dedications. I love baby dedications. How many of you know that you play a massive part in the next generation? As moms and dads, we're going to talk about it during service. The impartation from your life, whether it be a sinful life, or there be a godly life, will literally affect generations beyond your babies. Can I hear an amen or oh my? That could be almost an oh my. We affect people. And so today we want to dedicate babies. If I could have all the babies and the relatives and the aunts and uncles, bring a flag if you want. I don't mind. You know, we have people coming. There's a lot of babies. There's so many babies, I had to have a list. Come on, right on up here. Come on up here. Right on up here. Meet me up here. Jeff with his family. Come on now, boy. Look at them all. Is that a Donovan? Jesus, give her twins. Hallelujah. Look at all the babies and the relatives. Wow, you're coming up, right? Come on, baby boy. My cousin nephew? Oh. That boy was preaching with me in the first service. Amen. Look at all the babies. You know what's amazing in this church? If the mother came to church while she was pregnant. Hey, dude, how are you? What's your name? Nice to meet you, man. If the mother came to church while the baby was in the womb, the baby sleeps all service long. Or they preach with me all service long. If the baby has not, you hear them cry. Oh, my God, what have you got me into? Because babies can get scared in this service. Wow, look at all the families. Well, I just don't know where to start. Do I have oil? Earl, give me some Earl. I'm going to anoint the babies, all the babies being dedicated. You getting dedicated? Hi, baby girl. How are you? You look so beautiful in that dress. You really do. Pink is your color. Pastor Dan, we tried to get him in pink, but he just won't wear it. Hi, buddy. How are you? You are a prayer man, aren't you? Your mommy and daddy talk about how you pray. That's right. Baby. Dude. Jesus' name. You're just like your father. Jesus. Have you ever heard his dad's testimony? I'd get you anyways. His dad's testimony, God delivered him from heroin. And he'd been set free and clean, and God is using him in a mighty way at church. It's a great testimony, isn't it? Hi, Meg. Dedicated? Hi. That's what I thought. Dedicated? Amen. More Earl. Hi. You're getting dedicated today? You are so beautiful. That is a beautiful dress. Did you pick it out yourself? No? Your mom? Hi. Hi. Who's getting dedicated? Dude, how are you? Can I have a handshake? You're a lefty? You're a lefty? Good man. That means you're brilliant. Dedicated? Dedicated back here? Yes. Oh, that is so cool. Hi. You have some eyes. Can I have some of your hair? Pastor needs some of your hair. I do. We'll transplant it. The power of a family is just absolutely amazing. We're going to talk about a little bit in sermon today about how every one of us play a massive, not a minor, but a massive part in impartation. There are three different types of impartation. The first one, does everybody know what impartation is? That means what you have, you give to somebody else. The first one is genetics. How many of these babies, does the baby have your ears or your ears? Her ears. Whose nose? Your nose? Whose eyes do you have? Mom's? Yeah, oh my goodness. He even turned. Every one of these babies, genetically, eyes, ears, nose, toes, you look just like your father. Isn't it true? No one has to say, whose baby is that? Oh my goodness. Here we go. Let's get this. Get in close. Come on, get in close there, Dave. Here we go. Watch this. Does he look anything like his father? Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. It's my fault. There's so many. I'm confused. So what's happened is you have genetics, and then you have who you hang with is who you become like. How many of you told your children, you are not allowed to hang with Larry? You're not allowed to hang out with Heather. She's a bad influence on you. Now listen, we did tell our children not to hang around Heather. Her and Chatty Boy were really bad together. Bad children. And then you have spiritual impartation. And what's really cool is that we have all levels represented here. We have every single opportunity to invest and to bring success. Absolute success. Absolute success. How many of you want your children to be more successful than you? Then it never happens on accident. The seeds you and I plant as parents produce a harvest in our kids' lives. So what we plant, they're going to receive. And so every one of us that are up here today, remember baby dedication, listen, I don't mean to be offensive, but if you're Catholic, this has a totally different meaning. We are not Catholic. This does nothing for the child. This has nothing to do with the child. You cannot baby dedicate or baptize and the child goes to heaven. That's not in the Bible. It's good religion, but it's not in the Bible. So what this is about is not the babies, but challenging every single person that's standing up here to live the right life and impart the correct thing. Because what you impart, your children will become. Now, thank God, how many of you had your kids go wayward before? That means your kids walked away. My kids walked away. But what you put in has to come out. Listen, I love the midnight hour when the kids, they're out partying or something like that. They got to get up in the midnight hour and those verses, the Holy Ghost starts hitting them with. Boom, 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 boom. So let me pray a blessing over the families. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, release blessing upon the babies in Jesus' name. Father, we declare in Jesus' name that, Lord, every one of these children will not have. You're too tall. Hallelujah. Every one of these children, Lord, will not be lost, but every one of them will serve you all the days of their life. That father, mom, and dad, aunt and uncle, grandma, grandpa, every part of the family in Jesus' name, Lord, will raise these babies up to be powerful men and women of God. Lord, I declare in Jesus' name, they will be the next leaders of this church, the next leaders of their generation. I declare that, Father, they'll be doctors and lawyers. Lord, they'll be owners of businesses. That, Father, they'll be managers. God, they'll always rise to the occasion. We declare in Jesus' name, blessing and not cursing. And, Father, we thank you that each parent, each individual sowing into their lives will sow the seeds of heaven to produce the harvest of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give them all a hand clap. Pastor Dan has certificates for you. He's got certificates for you. These are legal certificates. I didn't know if you know that or not, but baby dedications that are stamped and everything are legal documents. So we just want to send you off, remind you that you made a decision. It's your job to serve God, to train them, to lead them, to develop them. It's your responsibility. And if you fail, you will stand before God in judgment for your children. Just to encourage you. All right? Be blessed. We love you. Pastor Dan, go quicker. Quicklier. Amen. I'm going to preach short today, only 3 hours, and then we'll be gone. Thank you, families. We love you. Yeah, you know, I used to say grandparenting, but now I am one, so it's kind of weird. Amen. Can we give them all a hand clap? We have a good, bad problem at His Tabernacle, and that is we have so many babies that we've actually had to open a new nursery. And so we are believing God to fill this house with babies. Amen. We'll raise them up, teach them the Word of God. I believe that in grade school, they can start laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Amen. We have some children in this church that are teaching their parents to pray. Amen. We have children in this church that are not ashamed of the gospel and will speak it up even in school. I thank God for the children of this church. Every month, there are 260 children on the other side of this wall every single month. Now, why do I say a month? Because we have split homes and not everybody's here the same week. But 260 children a month are being trained up. We don't do babysitting. We train them to the Word of God and to know Christ. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Open the Bible with me this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is the year of... Oh, you're awful weak on that. I said, this is the year of the kingdom. The Bible declares, let's read it together. But seek... All praying in tongues all at the same time. Let's read it together. One, two, three, read. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, knowing, understanding, living within the kingdom. Every king has a kingdom. It is the place. It is a location. We talked about the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. We know that once you become born again, the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you, and you become a citizen of heaven. If you're a citizen of heaven, shout, I am. I said, if you're a citizen of heaven, shout, I am. What I love about the kingdom, it's the king's job to protect the kingdom, which means the kingdom is not just a location, but it is built up of the citizens. So it's God's job to protect you. So what does He do? He opens the Word of God. He has written in the Word of God certain principles that will keep you protected in a world that is not godly. Now, how many of you know this world is not godly? It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out we got some issues. Amen. And we as the believers, we are the salt of the earth. Turn to someone and say, you are the salt. Tell somebody else, you are the light. We are the salt and the light. You see, we are the ones, the preservers. Salt is a preserver, and God has placed us here to preserve this earth. What's amazing is, when the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture. When the rapture happens, the salt is extracted. Not only that, 1 Thessalonians says that the Holy Spirit leaves. So what happens is the world and the restraining of the demonic and diabolical is now removed from the earth. That's why we have a great tribulation, because the enemy is going to be able to do whatever he desires. We know the desire of the enemy is simple. John chapter 10, verse 10. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. There is no other assignment that he has. There is no other lineage or line that he does. This is simply what he accomplishes. This is his vision. This is his mission. He does it in many different ways with different people. Sometimes he'll make you happy. Sometimes he'll buy you. Sometimes he'll get you all drugged up and drunked up, and you think that you got the whole thing in your pocket. Some of you sit back and before you served Jesus, you had all the money you needed, but yet there was a loneliness in your heart. You see, the devil can give you many things this planet has, but the one thing that he can never provide is salvation for your soul. He can never give you peace inside your heart. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Salvation only comes through the blood of the Lamb. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he came for a purpose. He came to build and to build a family, to establish a family, the citizenship of heaven. It's called the household of faith. But what I love about God is that he didn't just save us to go to heaven. He saved us to live on this earth and has given us what we need to be successful while we're here. How many of you like success? How many of you like failure? That's a good sign. So if you don't like failure, you want success, then you do it the king's way. How many of you know you can't tell the king how to run his kingdom? So when you live a life of obedience, then you live a life that is always going to be blessed and not cursed. You see, God desires you to live in blessing and not cursing. Now, the enemy, on the other hand, we do have a devil. He's real. He's just as real as the angels. The demonic, the diabolical, we don't see a lot in America as in activity as it would in other countries. But the diabolical has not changed. Demons have not gone and sat down in a lounge chair in hell waiting for the lake of fire. Their job is to go out and to destroy lives. But they're wiser than running around with a little tail or a little forked head. They run around with deception. We know the Bible says the devil as an angel of light. We know the diabolical are active even in this room today. Last week we talked about how there is a difference between possession and oppression. Possession is the devil actually lives inside of you and controls you. Now, if you are born again, you cannot be possessed. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says if Jesus lives inside of you, that then the devil cannot. That God is not a good sharer. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So God will not live in the same house as the demons. So you know you cannot be possessed as a believer. But as a believer, you can be oppressed. What is oppression? Oppression is when a spirit will come upon you, afflict you, influence you, and or motivate you. Now, whether you like that or not, if you are not aware of the tactics and the wiles of the enemy, then you will allow things to happen in your life that will hinder your walk with Jesus. Some of you've wondered why you move forward, and then it's almost like you cannot go any further, so you turn around and you go back. I can't explain to you how many people have confessed Christ as their Savior in this building and in the other places in the last 17 years that today are not following God. Well, they're not following God, not because God isn't good, not because God betrayed them, but because they got duped. Because they got lied to. Because they surrendered their soul. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a person give in exchange for their soul? You see, people sell themselves out many times over in this world. But Jesus came not that you be saved for a minute. He came that you be established, immovable, that you be a person that has great destiny and will do great and mighty things for his kingdom and bring an enormous harvest with your life. God's passion is so that you will be free and free indeed. You see, God wants you free from any hindrances. Last week we talked about these hindrances. We talked about some oppressive spirits. We talked about different demons that work in people's lives. What are they? Well, last week we started covering the spirit of infirmity. It's an actual demon spirit that causes sickness. We know that Jesus cast out the demon of blindness, the demon of deafness, the demon of mute, the demon of infirmity. And infirmity covers a many multitude of different sicknesses that are caused by diabolical. Listen, if you've been around anybody with cancer, you know cancer is a devil. It is not just a sickness. It is evil at its very root. And it's life that breeds death. When you start getting into, we got into last week also what's called unclean devils. These are addictive spirits. This is alcoholism, and this is drug addiction, and these are sexual addictions, and different addictions that are in our lives. Some people are gamblers. These addictions are driving you. It's not just that you don't have control, but it's beyond your control. It's an ownership. But the only thing a believer should be owned by is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 that no longer are we slaves to sin. That means sin has lost its power. That means sin no longer controls us, but that Jesus Christ does. Amen? So what happens is, how can you tell whether it's diabolical in influence or it's just your flesh and desiring to please yourself? It's very simple. When you are serving God and you are restraining yourself, when you are exerting self-control, the Bible says you have that. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5 that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you and you have his very fruit, his very nature. What's the nature of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, 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 temperance. What is temperance? It's self-control. You see, we have all the self-control we need to overcome every single trial, every single temptation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that there's no temptation that somebody hasn't seen. And God always give us a way of escape. You see, you and I as believers, if no matter what the temptation is, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be sexual, whether it be gambling, whatever the addiction is, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to overpower, overcome, and not to succumb to that temptation. Can I hear an amen? So how do you know when it's diabolical? When the drive is so intense, when it is so controlling that you're exerting all that you can, but yet you're being overcome. That's when you recognize that it is a diabolical or a spiritual entity that has come into your life to bring temptation, to bring an oppression, and that wants to control you, to destroy you. Now, some people simply give into it because why should I fight against it? I'm telling you why. Because the devil has only come for those three reasons. Steal, kill, and destroy. It might bless your flesh for a short period of time, but when the time comes to pay the piper, baby, it's going to cost you your soul. The enemy is not playing games. This is not tennis to him. This is life. Eternal life, not even temporal life. He wants your eternity. He hates God, and because he hates God, he hates you because you've been created in the image of God. So he will warp the scripture. He will lie to you. He will give your sensation of flesh titillation. He will bring you to a place where you will be succumbed, and he will destroy your life in the end, and he will laugh and gawk at you as you are tethered with him for all of eternity in the lake of fire. It is a reality. It is not a scare tactic. It is not something that a church uses. It is truth, and the truth shall make you free. So as a believer, we've got to believe and understand that God has given us perfect victory, but we've got to know how to deal with that victory. Now watch this now. We talked another spirit that works in people's lives last week called the spirit of fear. That is depression, fear, anxiety, phobias. All of those things are not of God. Well, you know, that's just the reality of life. You know, we're all stressed. Well, then we got to throw the Bible out because the Bible makes a very clear statement. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible makes a very clear statement that the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The word of God is very clear in the book of Philippians, and it makes this statement. Don't be anxious. Don't be concerned about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Stress, anxiety will start off in the flesh, but if we give it opportunity, a spirit of fear will come upon us and start controlling us. Today I want to talk about two other spirits that are very relevant in our time and in our communities. The first one's called the spirit of witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft has been very active in our area because the churches are weak. churches are weak. They don't believe in the power of God. They're not teaching their people. Maybe you've gone to a psychic. Maybe you've gone to a medium. Maybe you just went and had fun at the, over at the, you know, the fair and had them read your palm. Maybe you had somebody do your tarot card reading. But see, what you don't get is that medium is demonic. Well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what the word says. Well, I don't feel that. It doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what the word says. It doesn't matter if it feels evil. It matters what the word says. God is the king or he's not the king. She's reading her palm. What they don't understand is this, is that spiritual impartation. We just talked about that. Remember during baby dedication? Spiritual impartation. What she doesn't realize is this individual that's doing the tarot cards, the medium, the psychic, is getting their information from the demonic. So when they sit there and they put their hands in, they allow the spirit of this individual to now jump onto them. So now you have two people that are now, well, listen now, it's not shocking to me if the psychic is actually possessed, not oppressed. Well, I'll prove that to you in a little bit. But as a psychic, when they start laying hands, listen now, we had a whole group of folk that went on over to this individual at the arena. Well, I just did it for fun. I did it with my family. What are you, crazy? The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 4, don't give the devil a foothold. So what happens is once this individual has allowed this psychic to speak into their life, did you just hear what I said? The psychic to speak into their life, immediately the demonic spirit that this woman carries is now tethered to this individual. Just like in this house, we release the presence of the Holy Spirit. We release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We release the power of God in this place. Why do we do that? Why? Well, because it sounds really good. No, man. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. What you cannot see is more real than what you can see. The truth and the reality is there are angels in this room. Every one of us got about four. But there are also demons. And those that carry the demonic, those are the individuals that many times have opened themselves up as believers to the diabolical realm. And now the demons are influencing their life, controlling their life, manipulating their life, and ultimately will destroy their life. We cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices. We cannot be bewitched and fooled and brought to a place where we do not understand. I just want to read some verses for you. For those who don't believe that mediums and psychics and all that stuff is of the devil, you just need to hear what God has to say. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. If a person turns to a medium or a psychic, whoring after them or going after them for wisdom and understanding, I will set my face against that person and cut them off from my people. Well, and this is what we heard, ready, when we did online. Well, that right there is Old Testament. Okay, let's play. Galatians chapter 5, 19 and 20. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, and sorcery. As I said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to break this down. I want to bring hermeneutical exegete. I want to dissect this scripture. Are you ready? Those who do this don't go to heaven. Hold on. I don't want to go over your head. Those who live this lifestyle will not be part of the kingdom of God. Well, that might mean. No, it's simple. Why are we making this difficult? God is never shunned from this when we start dealing with witchcraft. Witchcraft is evil. Can I hear an amen? Witchcraft comes from the diabolical. Can I hear an amen? That's what the word says. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what a church says. I don't care what a preacher says. I don't care what a religion says. What does the word of God say? Well, Revelation chapter 21 kind of helps with this situation. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worship and liars, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is called the second death. So let's exegete this again. Dead. Let's work this together now. Here we go. Work with me now. Dead. Not temporal. Eternal. Not like, hi, I took a nap. Like forever. Being tortured and tormented by the one that you called your master. Who you submit your life to is the owner of your life. Well, I submit myself to myself. Well, you're a liar. Because you're not eternal. Well, you're eternal in the aspect that you will be going somewhere, but the one you follow is your king, is your Lord. So you always go where your Lord is. See, this is the struggle with some of the folks that have gone over. And maybe even today you were one that went to a psychic at some point in time. You went to a medium and you had your palm read and you had someone do tarot cards with you. And maybe even somebody appeared to you that looked like the loved one that you are now missing. It's called a familiar spirit. Let me bring some education to you. The Bible says when you die, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you then immediately go to hell. Hell is a holding tank. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, declare that hell and death will give up its grave. Where? At the great white throne judgment, and whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, shall be cast into eternal darkness and what's called the second death. So listen now, if somebody dies that does not know Christ, they could be a nice person, a sweet person, but they never accepted Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says they immediately go to hell, the holding tank, until the end of time. If you are born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately, your body will be put into a grave, but you, the real you, will be brought into the presence of the Lord. We know also, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That when the rapture occurs, our spiritual man shall meet our physical body, and then we'll go to the Bema Seat judgment before the Lord. So here's the reality. If anybody appears to you from the dead, it's not your loved one. It is a demon spirit called a familiar spirit taking on the likeness so they can suck you in, so now you'll start talking to the dead, which means death. Are you out there this morning? See, some of you just don't know these things, and you need to have a revelation. Well, you know, Pastor, I just think that some of them are just nice people, and they have a gift. They get their gift from God. Yeah, they get their gift from God. Which God? It's a low G. It's not the big G, it's the little G. The God of this world. Now, you see, this is so powerful because in Acts chapter 16, there was a young lady who was a medium. She was a psychic, and she was gifted. I'm talking really gifted. Gifted so well that her masters who owned her literally actually made money off of her. So they'd go around and they'd use her gift to make money. They would do psychic readings, and they would do the sorcery, and so on and so forth. And she decided one day, or the demon decided one day, to be a thorn in Paul's flesh. So what she did was, while he was preaching, she would stand there and go, you need to listen to these men. They're drawing you to Christ. And what she actually was doing was disrupting the service. Demons always disrupt what God is doing. That's why we never let a devil manifest in the church service. The devil has no right to get God's attention. He's the king. Amen. So all of a sudden, finally, the man of God just got sick and tired of hearing her mouth. So he said, in the name of Jesus, devil, come out of her. He didn't say, well, you need to soften your gift a little. Well, you know, I know that you're a good-hearted person and that you have a gift. He literally cast a demon spirit out of the medium, out of the psychic, and the demon came out of her. She came to rightness. She gave her heart to the Lord, and her owners were so mad, they took the man of God to court. Here we are, folks. We've got to realize that demon spirits are real, and in America, we've so soft-toned everything that we don't take the reality of the spirituality and truth. And here it is, that if a person is a psychic, if a person is a medium, if a person is a fortune teller, if a person is a tea leaf reader, if a person is a tarot card reader, if a person is into Santeria, if a person, we can go through the list, it's a long list. These are motivated and owned by Satan, not by God. A few more amens would have been exciting. So much so that in Acts chapter 19, verse 9, we find that people got saved. Now, if you don't know anything about the era and region about when Jesus, 1919, era and region where Jesus lived and where the disciples were, it was Athenian. Do you know anything about the Athenian nature? The Athenian nature was that they accepted all gods. So they had many different gods. They had snake gods. They had penis gods. In the old covenant, they even had hemorrhoids as gods. I mean, they had gods all over the place. They'd worship them, and they would sing to them, and they'd make shrines to them. So in the book of Acts, they got saved. I mean, God saved these people. So what happened when they got saved was this, is that they took all of their books, all of the tools of witchcraft that they had, they piled them in a big middle section, and they burned them. Millions of dollars, I didn't say thousands, millions of dollars of witchcraft paraphernalia and books were burned that day in Acts chapter 19, verse 19. If it was God, then why would he have them burn their books? You see, some of you have played with these things, and these demons have jumped on your life. Now, if you're born again, they can't possess you, but they can oppress you. I mean, literally, they can climb on your back. Literally, they can influence your mind. Literally, they can torment some people right in their sleep. Some of you have dealt with these demonic spirits as they've been moving things around your house. We've got to come to a reality that every demon in hell is absolutely defeated if you will take authority in the name of Jesus and stop playing and giving a foothold for the enemy. You cannot go to a medium without getting a spirit on you. You can't watch the medium TV. Well, I just watch her on TV. I didn't want to pay the $80. The moment you turn, what you turn on, you know what someone said to me once? What you want your daughter to become. If you don't want your daughter to become it, don't turn it on television. It is a gateway into your home. You turn on that tube, that's why I watch a lot of hunting. I'm a deer slayer. Get that in my spirit. Kill some. If you go to my television, I'm 99% of the time watching 604, 5, or 6, which is DirecTV hunting channels. Or I'm watching, what's that show? The Alaskan Peoples. Man, they're just crazy. That's all I know. I just like watching their behavior. It's just educational. But you see, if you turn on these different demonic things in your family, you're literally opening the gate of your home to these spirits to come in. If you're watching these diabolical, these demonic, these movies in your home, you're allowing the demons to come in. And if you're not wise, they're going to latch on you. Well, I don't got any demons on me. Well, let me tell you, if you are a person that cannot ever seem to keep going in your walk with God, you probably got something on you. And you need to be free. There's a whole other demon that I want to talk about today, and I'm almost done. Another hour, we will be out of here. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. If you've been dealing with demonic witchcraft spirits, you need to recant. What does that mean? Those demons spoke into your life. Those demons were given permission by you to participate with your life. You need to break off verbally in the name of Jesus. I cancel, I recant, I turn against, I shut the door of these demon spirits that I gave opportunity to in my life. If you don't do that, then they have a right to continue to participate in your life. You must take an aggressive spiritual posture. Just like when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you had to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It is the same thing. When you have a spirit, especially of witchcraft on you, where they have prophesied into your life, you need to cancel that in the name of Jesus. Take authority over that in the name of Jesus and destroy it in your life in Jesus' name. I'm almost done. The next generational devils I want to talk about, is generational. This is big. Generational spirits are something we don't like to talk about. The Bible talks about generational sin in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, how the sins of the father will go back many generations. Have you ever heard somebody say, like father, like son? Or you've not fallen too far from the tree? You're just like your mother. You see, you got a dad who loves his daughter. But here's a reality. If the father is carrying a spirit on him, he will pass that spirit down generationally, and until that is broken, it will continue to go from generation to generation to generation. This dad loves his daughter, but the father has spirits on him. Boom. He hands that demon to his daughter. Moms and dads, if you've never been right with God for yourself, oh, I'm going to be mean now. If you've never had a brain in your head to be right with God for yourself, be right with God for your kids. Your life affects your children spiritually. I mean, let's be honest. There are demons of alcohol. You know, we call all addictions now diseases. That's very interesting, isn't it? Now everything is a disease. I've watched so many lives owned by liquid. So many lives owned by a spirit of alcoholism that will drive people to a position where they themselves in their own mind, if they look back, they would say, why would I ever have made those decisions and done those things? That was stupid. But you were under the influence. Oh, why do we call it wine and spirits? Well, you know, if your father's an alcoholic and your family's an alcoholic, most likely it's going to be in your family. You know why? Because you're passing stuff off in generations. Well, it's in the genes. I'm telling you, it's more than in the genes. You can have as many pair of Levi's as you want. I'm telling you now, it's in the spirit, and you're passing it in the spirit. And when you give it to your children, listen, you got to take authority in Jesus' name over your family. Well, I just have one beer, but baby, it might not take your kid just one beer to become an alcoholic. We play with these spirits and we play. You don't know, man. I just want to jump. I'm mad. We sit back with our drugs and, you know, we think our kids don't know. They don't know. But watch. You don't have to know. Do you know, I know families, been in this thing a long time. I know families who have adopted children. The adoptive children never met the biological parent, but started manifesting the same lifestyle and demons as the biological parent when they hit their teens, yet they never met them. Do the same things. Why? Because whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, it does not matter. The truth will make you free. When you have a generational curse, when you have a generational devil, it is your responsibility to break that spirit and to keep that spirit from your lineage and your line and to create purity so that your children do not have to walk with the same devils you do. Can I hear an amen? Abuse. You watch abuse, man. It's generational. Welfare. The spirit of poverty. Passed from generation to generation. Listen, I believe in welfare. I believe welfare was made for the right reasons. And I believe it's made to help people and build people. And that's what it's made for. And when it's used properly, it's what we pay for. But what happens is this, is there are families with the spirit of poverty. They pass it on to their children. They teach their children it's okay to steal. They teach their children it's okay to lie. They teach their children it's okay to do whatever they got to do. Just don't get a job. Spirit of poverty. It keeps people, it keeps generations in being lassoed and destroyed. I'm here to tell you today, church, this is so powerful. We've got to get a hold of this because these sins, I got to be careful. Sexual sins are so powerful. Generation to generation to generation. You'll pass on the man whore, the woman whore. You'll pass on the homosexuality. You'll pass on all these sexual sins. It'll go from generation to generation. You think it's going to stop with you because that's the way you're born. No, baby. It's going to go to your kids. Why? Because there's a spirit, and if there's an opportunity, that spirit will capitalize on your children. People don't like to hear that. Dad, you're into pornography? Your kids don't know it, but they're in it too. You hid that thing, right? No, you didn't hide that thing. Because that spirit has a right to run around your house when you give it the open door. It's not a joke, man. This is so powerful. Well, I don't know if I believe that. I don't really, honestly. Watch now. I'm going to offend some folk because I'm good at this. You're shacking with somebody. You're allowing spirits in your home. The Bible says, just right with the sorcerer, that you're not going to heaven. Well, I love them. If they're good enough to bed, they're good enough to wed. Amen. Ladies, bungee cord up, man. They'll be offering you their marriage real quick or kicking you to the stoop. Man, you got to stand firm. You don't want to pass on to your kids what you don't want yourself. See, God has called us to be free and free indeed. I know I'm preaching long. I'm almost done. Really? But you can't be a parent that passes devils from generation to generation. You've got to cancel it. You've got to take authority over it. Those demons are afraid of you. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 11 that the stronger man casts out the weaker one. The greater one lives inside of you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We've got all power over the devil. Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, I've given you all authority over the devil. There's nothing that the devil has over us. The Bible says he's under our feet. The Bible says that we've been made more than conquerors. The Bible says that we are victorious. But yet if you do not take the victory, the devil will stay right there. I just don't feel it. Who cares what you feel? We walk by faith and not by sight. The word is our guide, not your emotions, not your feelings, not your deductions, not your deduction, not what you conceive as something God should agree with. Let that sit. Well, I think God says this. You're a liar, and it's going to cost you your soul. God told you what he thought. He didn't change his mind. I am the Lord God, I change not. Because how would you like to serve a God if he changes the rules all the time? He's constant. He's consistent. Jesus is called the faithful. It is solid. It is set. Folks, I'm telling you right now. Some of you got devils in your life. I'd love to run up and cast them out of you right now. Some of you got them living in because you ain't saved. And some of you got living on because you're living wrong. And you got to make a decision. Well, is he trying to kick us out of the church? Oh, man, I'd rather have you here than out on the street. But I will tell you this real quick, that you're going to feel conviction in this house because I ain't pampering and playing little games to make you feel nice or a little religion. I believe that God has a great dynamic call on your life. I believe that you have a dynamic destiny, that God has foreplanned you before the foundations of the earth. I know that God has the anointing inside of you waiting to bust out. I know that God has people just for you to reach. I know that people that get around you, they'll be healed and set free in Jesus' name. The greater and the closer you get to Christ, and the more you repel the devil, the more power you're going to live within, the more unconstrained you're going to be, and you're going to run. Like Jesus says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That is who you are. Don't accept anything less. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. You're an ambassador of heaven. You are kings and you are priests. You are prince and you are princesses. Stop allowing the devil to have control in areas of your life. Again, don't go around. Well, the devil made me do it. Listen, you yield long enough to him, and he'll help you. Some of you, man, you're playing with fire. You're going to get yourself burned. Not just you, but your whole family. Generations. I'm sure in this line right here today, we saw at least four generations. Do we have the babies? The parents? Did we have grandparents? Do we have any great-grandparents? Great-grandparents. Four generations. Four generations standing in one room. And the power of that influence brings death or life, freedom or bondage. Are you a perpetuator of freedom or bondage? What is your life? Bow your heads with me this morning. See, I believe in absolute victory. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got to start right where it begins. That is, you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. You see, you can have no authority over any devils. You can have no authority even in your life until you know you have Christ as your Savior. You are still a slave to sin until you are saved. And once you are saved, then you've got to grow in Christ. Today, if you're not born again, today, if you're not sure if you go to heaven, if you take your last breath. Today, you know your life is owned by the diabolical. You want to be free. I've got a Jesus. I don't got a church for you. I don't have a religion for you. I've got Jesus, and he'll change your life. The anointing will destroy every yoke of bondage, and you'll be free in Jesus. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now if you would like Jesus. Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Get your hand up. Get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, young lady. Last call, 1. Father, I thank you for all those who say they're born again in the room. Lord, for those that are not, I pray, God, the hound of heaven will not allow them to rest even in the next 3 nights. I pray, Holy Ghost, you'll keep them awake for the next 3 nights. That, God, they'll not be able to rest. They'll be restless because, Lord, they'll know they're in sin. They heard the word. The word is alive. I command the faith of the word to rise up in their soul, that, God, they'll turn their life to you even if it is in the midnight hour. Father, this morning we speak to the devils. Hear me now, spirits. You know the authority we have in Jesus' name. You foul devil of alcohol, drug addiction, sexual perversion, gambling, addictions. Hear me now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you in our lives. We break your power right now in Jesus' name. And God, we declare that you have set us free. Now, Lord, we speak to those spirits, back off in Jesus' name. You have no right in our lives in Jesus' name. We shut the door to you in Jesus' name, and we will not give you another foothold in our lives. In the name, the powerful, supernatural name of Jesus. Thank you for the jurisdiction in heaven and on earth and under the earth. God, we stand in the jurisdiction of our citizenship and declare that we are free. I'd like all the pastors and the ministers, all the prayer team to come around the front of the altar. Today, some of you are struggling with these things in your life and you need to be free. Today, we want to agree with you in prayer. We want to take authority with you in prayer. You don't have to do this alone. We'll do it with. Where's the rest of the pastors and the ministers? I'd like us all to stand, please.